Hello everyone, Annette Nada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette Nada. Today is yet another special day, because in addition to lesson 329, that 329 means I'm going to be reading the entirety of What is Creation. And so you all can just sit back, shut your eyes if it's safe to do so, just relax. Take a deep breath and soak it in. What is creation? And just let me tell you right now, when we are saying what is creation, most of all, we are saying that who you really are, that's what creation is. So when you're hearing what is creation, it's talking about you. What is creation? Creation is the sum of all God's thoughts, in number infinite, and everywhere without all limit. Only love creates, and only like itself. There was no time when all that it created was not there, nor will there be a time when anything that it created suffers any change. Forever and forever are God's thoughts exactly as they were and as they are, unchanged through time and after time is done. God's thoughts are given all the power that their own creator has, for he would add to love by its extension. Thus his son shares in creation and must therefore share in power to create. What God has willed to be forever one will still be one when time is over. It will not be changed throughout the course of time, remaining as it was before the thought of time began. Creation is the opposite of all illusions, for creation is the truth. Creation is the Holy Son of God, for in creation is His will complete in every aspect, making every part container of the whole. Its oneness is forever guaranteed inviolate, forever held within His holy will, beyond all possibility of harm, of separation, imperfection, and of any spot upon its sinlessness. We are creation, we the sons of God. We seem to be discreet and unaware of our eternal unity with Him. Yet back of all our doubts, past all our fears, there still is certainty. For love remains with all its thoughts, its sureness being theirs. God's memory is in our holy minds, which know their oneness and their unity with their Creator. Let our function be only to let this memory return, only to let God's will be done on earth, only to be restored to sanity, and to be but as God created us. Our Father calls to us, we hear His voice, and we forgive creation in the name of its Creator, holiness itself, whose holiness His own creation shares, whose holiness is still a part of us. What is creation?
Lesson 329. I have already chosen what you will. Father, I thought I wandered from your will, defiled it, broke its laws, and interposed a second will more powerful than yours. Yet what I am in truth is but your will, extended and extending. This am I, and this will never change. As you are one, so am I one with you. And this I chose in my creation, where my will became forever one with yours. That choice was made for all eternity. It cannot change and be in opposition to itself. Father, my will is yours, and I am safe, untroubled, and serene, in endless joy, because it is your will that it be so.
Today, we will accept our union with each other and our source. We have no will apart from His, and all of us are one because His will is shared by all of us. Through it, we recognize that we are one. Through it, we find our way at last to God. Lesson 329, I have already chosen what you will.
So today, I just wanted, because we only have today and tomorrow with what is creation, we've had pretty deep discussions here this.
We sure have.
Yeah, like we really.
Seems this idea of creation has brought a lot bubbling up to the surface.
Yes, and a lot of what creation is not. I think we didn't really maybe articulate it that way, but that's kind of what seems to be what we talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I wanted to bring up here with paragraph 3. So creation, I'm starting at sentence 2 if you have the CE edition. Creation is the Holy Son of God, for in creation is his will complete in every aspect, making every part container of the whole. Its oneness is forever guaranteed, inviolate, forever held within his holy will, beyond all possibility of harm, of separation, imperfection, and any spot upon its sinlessness. So I think yesterday as we were ending, you know, we were talking about all the different forms of duality. And
we didn't use those words, but yeah, we were.
Right. You know, I think I did. I think I talked about duality and how, you know, whether it's short, tall.
You did mention all of that, but you didn't use the word duality.
Oh, okay. So all the different forms of duality, and really those are, if it has an opposite, because love has no opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So if it has an opposite, we know that we're in the world of fear. We know that we're in the world of the egoic thought system. We also know that we're in the world of duality. And what I find quite comforting in this particular what is creation section is that all the duality that I make in my mind, I can just know that it's not true. So even if I say, oh, well, someone's nice and someone's mean, you know, like we were talking about yesterday, just some of the things that come up in American politics that don't seem too nice. But even if we look at those politicians and we go, oh, now that's a nice politician. Oh, this is a mean politician. Well, then we're seeing not from the eyes of Christ, but just from our egoic thought system. We're saying, oh, really, because love just sees love. Now, does that mean that we, you know, we don't see that someone is really in their egoic thought system and that isn't maybe someone we want to support or follow or whatever? Of course. But it's really like, what vision do we want to have? The egoic thought system vision, or do we want to have the eyes of Christ, which means just the eyes of love, seeing the oneness? And this next paragraph, I read it the first day wrong, and then every time that I've read it almost wrong, but I've made it okay. But I always stumble because it says, we are creation. And the first day I said, we are the sons of God. I put an R in there,
mm-hmm.
But it's like, you know, it was a slip. But then I've always been thinking about that is like, that was the slip. And it really was, is like, we must at some time come to the realization that there is no separation among us. We're not separate. We're one. We're one thought in the mind of our Creator. So we are creation. We're the extension of love. We are the sons of God. And we are the one Son of God. We seem to be discrete. We talked about this a little bit a few days ago. We seem to be separate, but we're not. For love remains with all its thoughts, its sureness being theirs. God's memory is in our holy mind. So there's a place inside of us that knows. We have that inner teacher,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's actually a sentence or a phrase from the text. There is something in you that knows.
Yeah, there is something in us that knows. So even if we are, well, anytime we're going into hate, we just know that, number one, it could be that, you know, we're being triggered and we need to ask for healing. It could be that someone really isn't being nice, but then we're needing help handling that. It could be that a boundary needs to be set, either, you know, really with a person or just, you know, with ourselves. So it's all how we're being guided. But this last bit, as I just really wanted us to get to before we ran out of days, is let our function be only to let this memory return. What the God's memory is in our holy minds. Love's memory is in our holy minds. Only to let love's will be done on earth. If we are really into separation, like, you know, my church is right, your church is, you're going to hell. My belief is right, your belief is, you're going to hell. The equivalent of, I can't even think of what, you know, if...
Oh. It's not bad, it's just not as good. Just like anything where we're trying to, you know, separate ourselves and make one higher, make one lower.
And it's even more than that, because if we, as the extension of love, as we go on our journey to remembering, we need to let go of the separation.
Well, that's the only way the sonship is going to heal.
It's the only way.
You know, most separation is just kind of silly. And I mean silly. Just like there's really no point to it.
Well, I always think, what could we do as humanity if we put all this energy that we put into hate, if we put that into love?
Seems like we could do great things.
Really? It seems like we could do great things, and great things really so that we all remember who we are, only to be restored to sanity and to be but as God created us. I mean, if we could let go of the hate and just come from this loving space, families could be reconciled. Relationships could be reconciled. Relationships within yourself could be reconciled. We wouldn't be us versus them on everything.
Well, it seems to me that one of the biggest problems is to the biggest problem to, you know, achieve what you're desiring is that we as humanity believe that God's love is so, I've used the word fickle in the past, but fickle. I'm going to say it again, fickle. Where it's like we just scrape across the finish line on our knees and we've got God's love by the skin of our teeth. Like God's always just about, like we're just hanging, you know, like those action movies where like the hero's hanging off the side of a building. I'll just by like the fingertips, and then the bad guy comes, and then they have like the, you know, the way too long speech revealing the entire plan. Like, I knew we'd be here the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then the bad guy steps on one of the hero's hands, and he's like, oh, and hanging off just by his fingertips. It seems like that's the kind of version of God so many people have, like, oh, I'm just hanging off by my fingertips, one finger, maybe two, and if I could just hang on long enough, God will love me. When it's like when you're living in that position, it's just like what A Course in Miracles says, and those who live in fear are apt to be vicious. Like if we think the love of God is we're getting our fingers stepped on and we're hanging off the side of a skyscraper, that we're like that close from just dropping down into the pits of hell or something, that it's so hard to see the love, the real love, for what it is. That was quite a long metaphor.
Well, I don't know how to say this, but what comes up for me when I'm thinking of, you know, your whole picture that I have now in my mind, you know, that Bible, in the Bible, it says, be still and know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the ego is described as a raucous chatter.
Raucous shrieks.
Oh, raucous shrieks. Oh,
way more than just chatting.
Yes, raucous shrieks. It seems like we listen when we're coming from fear, we're either participating in the raucous shrieks or we're listening to the raucous shrieks. And love doesn't shriek ruckusly. Mm-hmm. Love just loves.
But humanity and the ego are attracted to the shrieks.
Yes.
We love the shrieks.
We do, and we seem to just be so enamored with separation and what we're being asked here. So the last paragraph, our Father calls to us. We could say love calls to us. We hear love's voice and we forgive creation in the name of its creator. Meaning we see, forgiveness is to see ourselves as who we truly are. Maybe not in time, but in eternity. Whose holiness his own creation shares, whose holiness is still a part of us. Like those ruckus shrieks, they are not who we truly are. And we can have raucous shrieks in our minds, you know, really like negative self-talk and you know, so many folks that we meet are so really kind of weighed down by what's going on in their minds. And then we see it in, you know, fighting all over, you know, fighting in a school board to fighting Ukraine and Russia. I mean, you know, like we just see this everywhere. It's like, well, what if we took all this energy we were putting into fighting and we use that for who we truly are? What if we took all of that energy that we extend hating on people and then we were just the love right where we are? What if we just let people be whoever they are? What if we just were loving to everyone, no matter what their race, no matter what their ethnicity, no matter what their gender identity, no matter what their sexual orientation, no matter what their socioeconomic level, no matter what their education level. Like, that's where we need to go as the creation of love.
Mm-hmm.
And because we all have it inside, and that voice for love is our Father calls to us.
We need to follow the thread of joy, I think.
So where does that come from? I'm not disagreeing. But how did you come to that?
I came to that because the shrieking isn't happy.
Oh yeah, the shrieking.
If you just watch the news, if you watch anything, the shrieks are shrieks of sadness and misery. Do you remember that painting? I have no idea who painted it, but it's like the screaming man. It's like all wiggly and wobbly and some person with their mouth open, like a ghoul. I don't really know. I just think of it as a screaming man.
The Scream by Edvard Munch. Way back from the late 1800s.
Yeah, that one. I just thought it was going to be something more elaborate than The Scream. But yeah,
it's just The Scream.
I just think of it as The Screaming Man. But yeah, The Scream. Where it's just, to me, that's, I don't even know if that was the purpose of it, but it's like, that's what the ego looks like to me. Yeah, those are those raucous shrieks. Like Munch really painted that out.
Oh, he did. Now that you say that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are out of time, though. One more day of What is Creation, and you're going to be reading it for us.
Thanks for this discussion. It was fun today.
It really was.
Yeah. Have a wonderful day.
See you tomorrow.